It's time to talk cars, have a little fun, serious talk, and a ton of passion with Steve, Felicia, and the rest of the gang here on Drive Friendly.
Welcome to another week of Drive Friendly. I'm your host, Steve Rosansky from Friendly Auto Centers. And with me is my beautiful, albeit a little angry wife, Felicia Rosansky from Platinum Realty. And welcome to this week's show. We have a couple of really cool guests in the house today. As usual, we have Matt the Mustache Watson from State Farm Insurance. And with us, the very eligible bachelor, Ryan, the maven of mortgage, Steckelberg. But with us today, we have a special guest, one of our original sponsors. He is now the senior regional vice president. I am told I have to bow to him now because he's not only a senior regional managers, vice presidents. It's a big deal. We have Tony Piccarello, Anthony Piccarello from Factory Motor Parts in the house. Welcome back to the show, Tony.
Great to be here.
Great having you on the show. And as everybody knows, I'm a New Yorker. I'm a New York. There's my Islander shirt. And underneath, close to my heart, is my Jet shirt. And if you check out my wife over there, she's wearing a Jet shirt. But the problem,
the original Jet shirt. You know how old
this shirt is?
Is old. This shirt is like pre-you.
Yeah, it is.
So, and when I was happy.
Yeah.
Life was good.
It's going to be a long show, guys.
It's going to be a long
day. But Anthony Piccarello comes from a different part of the world, doesn't he?
I don't want to talk to him. Nope, I forgot. Boo-hoo-hoo. Oh, wait, you have a new quarterback, Cam Newton.
Yes, we have a Patriots fan in the house.
I might not be rooting against you. That's hard.
My wife owns a Cam Newton jersey. I want you to know.
No, I gave it away. I got really frustrated. When he acted like a spoiled baby after he lost the Super Bowl, very classless act. I actually sold my Cam Newton jersey on OfferUp.
Yes, she did.
So,
well, what led you to buy it anyways?
Because he was freaking great.
And cute. She had a face mask cut out.
That's really insane. that is true, and I put it on his face.
Yeah.
A similar body type.
The mechanics didn't work out though. I can't.
It was
come
pretending
close
on all sides here.
But anyway,
I'm sorry, Felicia, but of course the Patriots picked up another MVP.
Who?
He's now the captain of the Patriots, and Cam Newton's going to take the Patriots. Going to be serious this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Can we have a little side bet? Look, I know the Jets are going nowhere, but I really think that Tony, I want to bet him at dinner at a restaurant of my choice that Buffalo will beat Patriots in New England this year. I mean, all the way through. Like, if
Buffalo's
it comes down
be
to
2-0 against the Patriots. 2-0?
Yes, they're going to beat. I believe that Buffalo is going to beat the Patriots.
Anything could happen.
Tony, you ready to take that bet?
Yeah, what the heck?
I want something nice. I want to go to Mindy's.
But notice that you didn't say it about our team.
No,
we just we don't even pretend that that's going to happen.
Do you know what? We're not the longest odds anymore. Jacksonville's now the longest odds to win the Super Bowl. 250-1. The Jets are 200-1. So we're getting there, and it's 25-1 that they actually show up. So it's only a 50-50 chance of that. So anyway, obviously we're here to talk about cars and real estate and stuff like that. And with this COVID-19, there's a lot of, all of a sudden, mobile auto mechanics. A lot of people are home and they're shopping for car repairs. Car repair business is very, very busy right now. We're going to get why it's busy a little bit later in the segment. But one thing that's popped up is mobile auto mechanics. Now, mobile auto mechanics have been around for years. Now, when I was a tech...
Since the horse and buggy.
Pretty much. Oh, yeah. When I was a mechanic in the 70s and 80s, I worked at a shop full-time, but if I wanted to make some extra money, I would do some work on the side in front of people's houses.
Don't they call that shade tree mechanics?
No, shade tree is guys who think they know everything and they do it under their shade tree by their house. No, I was a professional mechanic, but, we didn't make a lot of money. We didn't make money like plumbers and electricians. Mechanics always, to this day, make less. So side work is just something that's a natural course of, being a mechanic. It's part of the career. And there are a lot of good ones out there. I don't want to disparage the good, honest ones. There are some good guys. They have great reputations. But recently, there's been a surge of, like, Facebook mechanics. And what's happening is this. We actually got a call yesterday. A customer, they used to be a customer, and the husband lost their job, so they're looking for ways to save money. They needed a water pump done in their car. So the guy that called me up, the customer, and said, how much is this water pump job? And that's the one with the timing belt and everything. That's a pricey job. It's, let's just say it's about $1,000 for this kind of car. And it was an average price. Okay. He went on to Facebook and he found a guy who'll do the job for $500. Mm. So the guy comes to the house, says, yep, this is the car. I can do it. I will need $300 in parts up front so I can go purchase parts. Now, I don't know where he's buying the parts at, you know, but any mechanic who comes to you and wants to work on your car and doesn't have enough money in his own bank account to buy the auto parts himself, that's a warning sign right there, because you should never have to leave a deposit. We don't ask for deposits. Shouldn't be a problem. So the customer gave him the $300 and he proceeded to take off what to the customer seemed like a lot of components. Basically, all he took off was the plastic timing covers and the big cover of the engine, and he left it in a pile, slid it under the car. Never came back. The customer calls me up. He's like, what do I do? I said, I can't do anything for you.
Get a big bag.
So in there. He's trying to call the guy, and finds out that the name that he used isn't even his real name. So this guy doesn't exist. There's no way to catch up with him. Now he calls me up. He goes, Steve, I need you to pick the car up. So we go get the car. We bring it back. Half the parts are missing. Now, the hardest thing that a mechanic can do is put together something that somebody else took apart. We work on memory. I could take apart a car 5 years ago, put all the nuts and bolts in a bucket, shake it up, and 5 years later, I'll be able to put this back together because I took it apart. I know how
so
I took it apart.
That's where your memory went?
Something like that. So taking it apart, you know, we said we'll do the job for the original amount. We want to do the right thing. But when we saw what he took apart wasn't even necessary to take apart for the job. He took it apart to impress upon the customer that, look what I have to do all of this. And like I said, there's a lot of good ones out there, but there's a lot of scams out there, especially on social media. Oh, I could fix that. No problem. Give me the money for the part. If you use a mobile mechanic, and there's some companies, RepairSmith is one that sends mechanics to your house. They're not going to ask you for deposits. They're not going to ask you for, you know, weird things. I don't feel comfortable.
What kind of weird things?
Can you give me a hand holding this wrench? Stuff like that. Can I use your can I use your bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even like Matt and Ryan coming to my house to use my bathroom, let alone some stranger I don't
know. Okay.
I'll give you a hand.
You know, and it's kind of strange request. But even places like RepairSmith, how do you know they're going to come back? I mean, really, how do you know? If you have a problem with the job they did, you've paid it. And 90% of the time, it's cash. They always want cash. Yeah. What kind of warranty do you have? He could write it on a piece of paper and say, hey, warrantied for life. And maybe he bought the part from Factory Motor Parts. They're going to go to Factory Motor Parts. I don't have a receipt. I just have some scribble on a paper. And that's what happens. And it's happening a lot. So when you see these weekend cowboys doing side work, stay away from it. All right. Here's another issue that popped up recently. We had a mechanic that worked for us for a little while and we let him go. He couldn't stay with our standards. So he went on Facebook and said, my name is this and I work at Friendly Auto Centers and I can do repairs half the price. So he did basically what I just told you, taking people's money. And I had a customer call me up. Hey, is your guy there? I'm like, no, he doesn't work here anymore. He goes, what are you talking about? He was just at my house this weekend putting a starter in my North Star Cadillac. It was a North Star where you have to pull the intake manifold off. He's like, geez. You got to do something. I said, why do I have to do something? He goes, well, it says Friendly Auto. I was like, no. This guy worked for me for 2 weeks, 6 months ago. Oh, you got to do something. What can I do? What did I do? You've never been to me before. Well, he took the whole thing apart. I gave him money for the starter. I never saw him again. So
didn't verify his employment.
Nothing. Yeah, he did nothing. And even if he did work for me, what a guy does on his own personal time has nothing to do with us. But he took the guy's car apart. But check this out. We got the car to us. You know, I finally talked to the guy, and instead of shopping for another guy, come to us. Half the parts were missing. I mean, and I'm not talking about nuts and bolts. We're talking about major parts of the intake manifold were missing. So to wrap this up, mobile mechanics have a place and a time and a purpose. But when you have a problem, you want a brick and mortar. You want to be able to go into some guy's establishment and say, hey, I have a problem. When I have a problem with Geico, I'm going to call China or Guam. I have a problem with State Farm. I'm calling him Matt Watson. So I have his cell phone number. I have going to Ryan Steckelberg. I know where his office is. I'm going to Felicia. I know where
he is.
Don't
come to me now because I won't help.
And if I have a problem, I go to Tony Picarello. I have a cell phone number. I know where he lives. I think I know where he lives.
You know, and that's what, you know, one of the things you're part of the, you know, Partners Network program that we have with FMP. And so you go to fmppartners.com and you can find, you know, Friendly Auto there. And you can find all qualified service stations wherever you live across the country. You can find them there. These are, you know, certified people that we believe in that buy quality parts that that they put on and they back up with warranties and support, and their brick and mortar places. And it's one place where people can go and feel secure that they're finding really good service centers like yourself.
One of the things that we do is when a customer comes to us and we have to do like a pre-trip check, and we ask them, is this a vacation? They go, well, no, we're moving to Florida. Okay. And what we do is we find somebody on the Partners Network website that is in their zip code and say, hey, this is a mechanic you can go to. And now our warranty is transferable from Arizona to Florida. So if anything goes wrong with the work that we did, they're covered for 3 years, $36,000 at a shop that's never even seen that car.
That's amazing.
That is how you choose a repair shop. Don't choose it by, oh, my cousin, friends, it's the cheapest place. All right. That's another thing. They're the cheapest. The cheapest places will go out of business. Tony, how many repair shops? I told you when I spoke to you last week, we had counted 22. You said that number is actually higher.
Yeah. It's really disheartening because we've gone through a tough time. Let's just face it. We've gone through a tough time.
Oh yeah.
A lot of shops, you know, really the shops that haven't been really run very well, they didn't make it. And some still, and there's still some that are tinkering, to be honest with you, but they may not make it. And so, you know, the shops that have good bones, good customer relations, and they know how to manage their overall business, they're the ones that are going to stay in business and thrive, just like your operation. And, you know, at cars, as you know, more than me and anybody else, they're tricky. It's tricky business. You want to go to a qualified mechanic in a shop that knows what they're doing and know how to support their work. Because it's you can be fixing a problem for 3-4 months down the road if you don't do it right the first time.
And those shops there's a shop right down the road from us that was in business for about a year. They recently went out of business, and now customers are coming to us going, you know, we'd like to come to you, but you know, we had an alternator done at the shop down the street, and you look and it's got junkyard markings on it. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of it. So you save some money, but it's costing you money. I mean, it's ridiculous. So don't shop by price. Try to go to a brick and mortar. There are so many repair shops in Arizona that are really, really good, qualified with ASE certified technicians. I mean, look, I may not be in your area. You may be down in Santana, Florence, or up in Northern Phoenix, but you can go to the Partners Network website, call me, or we'll get you in touch with Tony, and we will find a repair shop for you that is more than qualified to meet your needs. Felicia, you wanted to start us off.
Yeah, you know, I'm a person that really likes to follow the trend. I read 3 to 4 newspapers a day. I'm always trying to keep on top of what's going on, what's coming up. You know, especially I'm in the housing market. I'm always interested in that. But the automotive industry is making headlines almost every day now. And the reason is as much as it's great for the environment, mass transit is going down. People do not feel safe being around other people for obvious reasons we can all understand.
Yeah.
And that is raising the used car market.
The used car market.
So I thought this would be a great thing to talk with about Tony, because, you know, he knows a lot about cars and used cars. They're past the time when you can take them to the dealer. You got to go to your local repair shop. You got to get new parts. What are we seeing with what's happening? What are the trends you're seeing?
Well, I mean, we're seeing a lot of positive trends. People are, just to your point, people are investing in the vehicles that they're driving. And, you know, for a lot of different reasons. One certainly could be job security or the lack thereof. They have a good investment in the car. They know what they've got in their product. Or if they need to buy another car because they were using public transit and now they want to they want to get their own vehicle so they understand what the environment is and it's protected. So that, to your point, I think, Felicia, is really it's accelerating the used car market.
I think people feel safety in their own bubble.
Yeah.
And so that part makes a lot of sense. And so we're seeing those trends, and that's what's really kind of keeping our industry alive. And so we're finding people are, whether they're investing in engines, we can talk about, but we can also talk about ride control. People are investing in, shocks and making sure that their ride is correct. And so we have, so they're investing in the vehicles to make sure that they've got a safe, reliable product. And with minimal investment, they can have some good security going forward as far as, the environment that they drive in, and then a good balance to their pocketbook. So those two combinations kind of make some sense.
Well, it's definitely cheaper to keep her, as they say, because,
for cars, right?
We have a customer who just needed a diesel and a high pressure diesel pump where you have to pull the cab off the chassis. And he had us do that and both turbochargers. It was around $14,000 to do that. And I said, why don't you just buy a new truck? And he went and goes, there's $60,000 for an F-350. And over the last year and a half, but more in the last 6 months, we have done, I'd say, at least 24 engine replacements because people are happy with their car. It's their own secure bubble. It's sterile. They keep it clean. Yeah. They don't want to go to a dealer. And the last thing anybody wants is new payments
right
now.
Right, they paid it off or they're close to paying it off.
Now, you have a line. We were talking about this the other day of replacement engines. You were talking about that. I'd like a little information on the replacement engines that Factory Motor Parts have available now.
Yeah, we have a whole line. We've connected. We have a strategic partnership with a company called C&K. So what we've based on the magnitude of which we can buy, we've negotiated really some great prices that we can then pass on to our customers. And we sell directly to shops, B2B. We're not a B2C type of business.
Right.
So we sell directly to our FMP partner network customers. And they're able to really secure great engines, remanufactured engines, and transmissions. And included in that is an options to get, extended warranties on that for labor and replacement parts. So it's kind of a full product line that you can buy and with confidence and with FMP's backing, put into a customer's car and get them back on the road in a short amount of time.
Now, the warranties are transferable the same as, like, set of brake pads or an alternator. So if I put an engine in a customer's car here in Arizona and they happen to be going to Boston to watch Buffalo beat Boston, then mm-hmm. the engine goes bad, they're covered up there?
Yes, exactly. And they'll have roadside assistance, as they travel out throughout the country as well.
Now, you get roadside assistance just for being a customer at Factory Motor Parts, too. We do a brake job and you need a jump start. Jump starting is free. I knew that, but I forget all the time. But these engines now, I know there's a difference between rebuilt and remanufactured. Our listeners, I'm going to do it really different. Rebuilt is they take it apart, repair what's wrong with it, freshen it up, paint it, put it back together.
Mm-hmm.
Remanufactured is basically the block is redone and everything else, pistons, crankshaft, everything is not only replaced, but it's updated to alleviate the issues that first caused it to go bad. Like the Ford 3.5 only has like 8 oil drain holes in the pistons, but the new ones have 12. These updates are what makes the difference between rebuilt and remanufactured. Now, when you sell these, they come with the whole gaskets, everything to do the complete job with?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And what's the time? Let's say I sold the customer an engine today. How fast is it to get delivered to my front door? Average.
Average is about a week.
A week out?
Yeah.
That's pretty average. And where's the warehouse for that? Is that in the Midwest?
Well, they're based in Denver. And so we're, pretty good strategically from the Southwest mm-hmm. for our access.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And you said you're doing transmissions. As you know, we had a new division called Friendly Transmissions.
Yes, I
wasn't aware that you were doing those as well. So we'll have to talk about that. We may have the same supplier. I don't even know. But yeah. Friendly Auto, we do. We have a division now, Friendly Transmissions. We actually just changed the signs and everything. And it's been wonderful. We offer a 4-year, 100,000-mile parts and labor warranty on transmissions. Best warranty in the business. Nobody's got what we got.
That's strong. It's very strong.
Yeah. Besides engines and transmissions, what's really expensive if you want to keep your car? If you want to keep your car, you don't want to trade it in. What are the other big expenses that might come down the down your way?
Well, Tony said it before, ride control. And we're talking about shock absorbers, struts. Struts are an integral part of the car. It's not like, oh, my car is bouncing. It's not like the old days. When the struts get worn, there's more movement in the front end than it was designed for. So let's say the normal rebound from top to bottom when you go in over a bump in the road, let's say that car is designed to move 3 inches up and down. So from center, 1.5 inches up or 1.5 inches down. When the ride control, that's what Anthony meant by shock absorbers and struts, yeah. when they're worn out, it may go to 4 inches. And that difference will start ripping things like control arm bushings, tie rod boots, ball joint boots. So by replacing those ride control components before they're super bad, you will save a lot of money on other parts that could have been prevented. I can't tell you how many control arm bushings or control arms we do a week. And when I tell them that the reason is because your struts are worn out, they'll, oh, we'll leave the struts, just do the control arms. And they're only back 1.5 years later with the same exact problem. And ride control is very important to the ABS system, to traction control.
And I think that's where I was just going to go to. It's really, it's integral to your safety system on your vehicle, to your whole braking systems and ABS. It's really integral. So if you start deteriorating your ride control performance, your shocks and your struts, you're really hurting your stopping distance and your performance. If you're going into a hard braking situation, your car is not going to perform the way it is intended to perform. And so that's why I think the biggest thing what you guys do is make sure your vehicles are, it's a lot less expensive to maintain your vehicle than to fix it once it's broken.
I think also that what else can people do? Because now that people are going to be using their cars more, and it's funny to say that in Arizona because we use our cars so much, but we're using our cars even more because now we're traveling by car. We're going on vacation by car. Mm-hmm. Everyone I know who used to go by plane is driving up to California, out to Texas, down to New Mexico, but they're driving. They're driving.
Yeah, we don't fly anymore. We've been to San Diego. I drove both times. Normally we'd fly. It's cheap to fly and get us there, but we're nervous about flying.
It just makes me wonder if maybe people who are not used to cold weather, now they're going to be traveling and driving up instead of driving places. Maybe, like we have family in Denver. I don't think I'm going to fly to Denver this year, but if I go to Denver, I'm going to drive. So the conditions in Denver are going to be different than the conditions in Arizona.
Sure. If you go to Colorado, you go to Factory Motor Parts, pick up a tranny, and how good those trannies in Colorado are.
I've seen some of them.
Well, what other things can people do to get their cars like really in great shape?
Here, I'm going to yell, change your freaking oil. Change your oil. I can't tell you how much changing your oil, and change it before your little light comes on. Change it 4 times a year. The more you change it, the better it is. I recently had a car, a Honda. I've been telling this lady to use synthetic oil and change it more. No. I want regular oil because my neighbor who works at the supermarket knows everything about cars. And her variable valve timing, that's a little spool, and it's got this fine mesh screen. It's like pantyhose almost. Clogged, solid with sludge. The timing adjuster didn't come out, spun the timing belt, blew the head. By changing her oil 4 times a year, she would have avoided a $2,500 job. But what do I know? I mean, we don't know anything. And I told her straight up. She's like, why did this happen? I said, because you don't listen to me. And, she was a little taken back, but she understands
I'm
from New York.
Maybe she's not as used to you as I am. Because, anyway, Tony, what other trends are you seeing with with repair shops in general? What do you see people are doing? Is anybody doing anything different now? How have things changed since COVID?
I think the biggest trend that I'm starting seeing is just really the strong customer relationship activity that's going on where you're doing repairs for a customer. You're sharing photos of what the problem is with the vehicle, sharing that with the customer, letting them know visually what you're going to be, you know, how you're going to fix that vehicle. So I think it's that connectivity, and really the aftermarket channel is really kind of taking a big lead in it and beating a lot of the, I would say, dealer network in this area. They're really connecting with the customer and really are kind of building a relationship with the customer and their vehicle in the shop that's kind of beyond, you know, where it was 2 or 3 years ago, to be honest with you.
We're seeing a big uptick in financing also.
Yeah.
You know, we have 7 different ways of financing through Friendly Auto Centers. You know, we have no interest. We have 6 months, 12 months. We have people who are buying houses. They can't have their credit hit. We have no credit check. And we're seeing a huge uptick in this because people need their car fixed, but they don't want any more credit cards. You know, they just want to, you know, finance it. What do you see it for the future? I mean, where do you see, I mean, do you see telematics really coming into play? Do you see dealers taking more of our business? I mean, do you have any thoughts in the last couple of minutes here about the state of the industry and where it's going from a car perspective?
No, I appreciate the question. I think the state of the industry is really pretty good for us. It's, you know, we have just, you know, a huge number of vehicles out in the marketplace to support and service. And so we've got a long wheelbase. Obviously, the trends are coming in the industry. Telematics is certainly a capacity, a big issue. And obviously, hybrid technology, as well as electric technology, certainly coming into the fold. But it's starting, but it's got a long ways to go. But those are going to be interesting trends as we go forward. And, you know, we're still looking at different elements of, you know, we're probably looking at stocking some Tesla batteries and having that as an option for customers to buy. So, so we're starting to see some of that, but it's still, it's really small percent of our overall business and overall vehicle park. It's still conventional gasoline motor vehicles that are out there.
Do you see, do they talk, again, I can't come to these kind of meetings, but did they talk about how the electric vehicle surge, which is coming? I mean, it's here. Tesla's huge. And the electric vehicle surge is coming. I mean, General Motors today, I think, is
yesterday. They partnered with Nikola.
They're partnering with Nikola, and they're also saying that they're going to deliver more electric vehicles than Tesla will. How is this going to affect us who really have been dealing with the internal combustion and the diesel engine for all these years? Do you feel that this is going to negatively impact our industry as an aftermarket?
No, I think exactly how it's going to affect us, I'm not quite sure, but it will affect us. And so as we kind of go through this, we're going to have to adapt our business model and really kind of figure out what the customer needs are. And, you know, whether it's batteries or like we're talking about ride control, more energies on that, or ABS or stop and distance. So there's definitely mechanical elements of that vehicle that we're still going to be serviced and going to need a support. So it's going to change just like everything in this world changes. We'll just have to figure out how we're going to adapt and what mixture that's going to look like.
Electric vehicles still are going to have brakes and shocks and all kinds of things that
we need batteries to start, to
control
stop.
Arms.
Windshields are going to break.
Windshields. Well, that's a whole other thing.
Tires.
That's going to be ADAS, which we're making our purchase. To move on with ADS. But, you know, it's always interesting talking to Tony Picarello because he's got his finger on the pulse of the automotive aftermarket. I know he's got a wealth more of information because you get Tony talking, he can go on for a while in a good way about what's going on.
Why don't we get him on after New England wins or loses to Buffalo?
Yeah, you know what? We're going to have you on after. That's the first week, isn't it?
We'll have the second week.
We're going to have you back on after that because when Buffalo wins, I have half a dinner. I'm up to the appetite, the drinks and appetizers.
That's this
second
weekend?
Game will be the entree and the desserts.
All right, you are on.
Now Felicia's going to take over, and we're going to delve into some real estate and some loans and insurance.
Actually, the real estate market hasn't really changed since we spoke a couple of weeks ago. Everything is still crazy. It's a super seller's market. And it's a great idea to sell your house if you already have a place to live. Mm-hmm. I'll just give you one example. This couple of weeks ago, my partner and I had a house for sale in Chandler. We had in 48 hours, we had over 28 showings and 9 offers.
The phone never stopped.
Three of the offers were contingent. which means that these were people whose houses were selling. So they had to sell their house in order to buy the house we were selling. And we actually ended up taking a contingent offer because it really was the best offer. My question is, where are the other two families going to live? Because their house is being sold. And they were under 30 days from having their house sold. And the agents were literally on the phone with us, begging us, because their clients had no place to live. And we're like, we only have one house. We had three situations that were like that. So, you know, we did our duty to our client and got the best offer. But that's what's going on. Ryan, mortgages. What? I mean, you're like insane. What's going on?
Yeah, it's been nuts. I mean, earlier this year, refinances were up 100% year over year, which
100%
was all due to interest rates. A lot of those have refied already. And they're currently, the information came out, mortgage applications are up 60% year over year. So they're still going, and it's no slowing down. Purchases year over year are up 40%. So that's even better. And just to piggyback off what you said, the reason why you're seeing those multiple bid situations, and that's what's, and I heard this morning on the a show that I watch in Phoenix, San Diego, they're one of the hottest markets, and 65 or 70% of offers that are going in have multiple bids. So yeah, it's definitely challenging being a borrower, especially in that range between 200 and 400 right now, even around 600. So.
Well, sorry, I just lost my train of thought for one second. That's okay. I'm overwhelmed. You know what? I'm overwhelmed by the numbers. I'm overwhelmed by the numbers because when I started 7 years ago, there were 28,000 houses on the market between Maricopa and Pinal counties. There's less than seven.
Yeah,
7,000. But that counts everything
from like seven total.
That's like from Sun City to Florence. I mean, there's like no, there's just not a lot of inventory out there. And which leads me to two topics that I can never, ever, ever let go. And sorry, guys, if you've heard me say this before, but please listen. Number one, if you are going to buy a new build, because there's just not a lot of second, you know, used houses out there, for the love of yourself and your family and your finances, take a realtor with you. Number one, it costs you nothing. Nothing. It costs you zero money. Okay, you will not get a worse deal with a realtor. You will get a better deal with a realtor because that realtor is going to fight for you and look over the shoulder of the builder and also direct you to builders that they've had better experience with than others, because all eggs are not the same in the box. Some of them are rotten eggs, and when you crack them open, it's gross. And I have had two clients within the last year whom I, at the time, they could have bought the used home and decided not to. Both say to me, I can't wait for 3 to 5 years when you're going to sell this house because I already hate this house.
Felicia, you're like a double yoker, right?
What?
Well, you're like a double yoker, you know?
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's crazy what's going out there. But what I really wanted to discuss this time is, how do you find the right lender? Because you can have the world's greatest realtor, which my clients do, and they can still... If I'm selling a house for you and the lender that your buyer is using is not good, despite all our best attempts to vet that person, that deal is going to go sideways and you're going to have a lot of unhappy people. Right now, in a multiple deal offer, we have one person who's sleeping in a U-Haul and another person who's sleeping on the floor of their house that has been emptied by the moving company. Because the lender at the beginning of this whole situation.
Why didn't they call me?
Was a bank.
They're the worst.
And hey, man, we're busy. You're online. That's the answer we're getting. And they don't care. And unlike Ryan, they go home at 5 o'clock on Friday and you can't find them Saturday or Sunday or Labor Day. And something that was supposed to close literally on last Friday, we'll be lucky if it closes this Friday. Meanwhile, electric has been changed over, gas and water has been changed over, people have completely put their stuff into moving vans, and all because one lender who promised that something would close on a certain day didn't do their due diligence, didn't check all the boxes for their client, and it had to go back into underwriting, not once, but twice. And once something goes into underwriting, you're 3 days out, and there's nothing. There is nothing except an act of God that's going to save that. Because we have very strict laws in place that you have to have 3 days from the time it comes out of underwriting of disclosure time before you can close a deal. So there's nothing. We're stuck. And we're all stuck because the client went to a bad lender. Ryan, how do you know how to find a good lender?
You know, everybody's really busy and everybody makes mistakes. But yeah, I think to find a good lender, you need to be able to tell if they care or not. You know, it's not another number. You know,
I have your cell phone is one.
You know, I would think what's cool in my situation is that I'm friends with the owners of VIP. So if I have a situation where that was a situation, number one, I would have paid for a hotel room for them. And then number two, I would have called the owner and he would have pushed it through for me. So you need to be working with someone who has connections, I guess, and has some pull, but also, I mean, everybody knows what they're doing or everybody makes mistakes, but you need to find somebody that knows what they're doing too. So,
well, one of the ways that I always think is a good way to find somebody is by going through your professional realtor. Because as a professional, see, here's what I try to explain to my clients. As a professional realtor, I have a relationship with several lenders, you know, Ryan being my favorite by far, but, you know, I have to spread it out a little bit and also give people choices. Not everybody fits everybody. Some people would prefer working with somebody who's older or younger or a female or whatever, and that's fine. Or I can't imagine anybody not liking you, but, you know, every time, sometimes people just don't get along. But the question always is, if you're working with a realtor and that realtor has a good solid relationship with that lender, then if you have a problem, that relationship is what's going to save you.
Exactly. Yep.
And I mean, Tony said it back in the last segment, customer service and relationships. More important, during the age of technology, relationships are actually more important than ever.
And another thing that just kind of what Steve was talking about, you don't want to go to a cheap auto shop. You don't want to go to the cheapest spot. We're not the cheapest, but we're going to give you the best service and your stuff is going to close on time.
Yeah, your loan is going to close.
I want to comment. I think also a lot of people go to these places like Rocket Mortgage and all these silly ones because I think they feel they'll have a better chance of approval than going to a mortgage loaner.
You know what? I don't know. People are very...
A lot of it's marketing, too. They spend a ton of money on marketing.
Oh, it's so easy. I can take my phone and have a mortgage in 5 minutes.
What's that commercial?
No, you can't. Because I can tell you right now, those people that go on their phone and have a mortgage in 5 minutes, that piece of paper isn't worth the 5 minutes you spent getting it. It's worthless to me. It's worthless. And as a listing agent and someone who has to decide if your offer is worth the paper it's printed on, if I see that, I toss the offer back to the agent and say, get me a lender that's going to close. Because Rocket Mortgage and all those other mortgages that you LendingTree and all that stuff, they do not have, first of all, anybody can lie on an application, okay? And it takes time to vet the information you're getting. But if you want to go out shopping for a house on Saturday and Saturday morning, you fill out a Rocket Mortgage application and you walk around going, ooh, I'm pre-qualified for $350,000. Let me tell you something right now. In my experience, that means you're qualified for $275,000 6 months from now when you fix your credit. It's like Zillow. You never get the Zestimates right. Because
it's fired up.
Oh, because it impacts my life in a very negative way. I do not like calling my clients and going, oh, the money you thought you were going to have in the bank from the big sale from your house. Yeah, you're not going to have it this weekend. You're going to have it 2 weeks from now because some guy who's sitting in an office at Chase Bank decided to spill Pepsi on the application and they had to start all over again and put it back to the bottom of the pile because that's what happens. That is literally how it works there.
And I live through this. Trust me. I listen. And when she gets an offer, is it from a bank? If it is, I pack my bags and I leave.
Tell the story. You rented a U-Haul to somebody who had to take it like 5 extra days.
Oh, yeah. When she came in to rent a U-Haul. And I said, what's up? She said, oh, moving out of the house. We bought a new house. Waiting for that to be done. And then she calls me up. She's like, I'm going to need it. The house didn't close. I said, used a bank. She's like, how would you know that? I go, I live with this stuff every freaking day of my life. I said, you used a bank? She goes, yeah, I used Chase. I said, let me guess. Friday, 4 o'clock, they told you it's not going to close till sometime next week. She's like, yeah, that's right. It actually didn't close for 10 days. She ended up spending almost, what was it, like $1,500 in U-Haul rentals because they couldn't move. It was like all complicated, but you know, at $40 a day plus insurance, it adds up really quick. And then they did the mileage back and forth a million times. I felt terrible for them. But, you know, they just went to their local bank. They went to the, actually it was the Chase right on Greenfield in Maine. They just walked into the bank. Hi, I want to borrow money. And what I've learned only from listening to her all this time is banks don't want to lend money. They expect, and the people behind the counter don't make an extra dime, whether they sell you a mortgage or not.
Exactly.
Mortgage lenders are commission-based. Ryan doesn't get paid unless your deal closes. So these guys are going to be hungry, and they're going to do everything. They're going to kiss your butt to make sure you get that loan for your house on time, because that's the only way they get paid. At the bank, they don't care. They don't. Well,
and, bank's the other thing, and the other thing is you also have to talk about, especially this time now when everybody's really, you know, hyper aware of their surroundings and everybody's a little bit on edge. I've seen situations through friends of mine who are also agents where they have had houses for sale where the buyers, I mean, have spent money on the inspection, which is $500, a termite inspection, which is $50 to $100, an appraisal, which is $500. And then at the end, they didn't get the loan. So they're out all that money plus all their time because they didn't go to somebody. And the best way to find somebody to for a lender, you know what, like you find anybody else, talk to people who've actually been through the lending experience, who've come out on the other side of it and still like the people that they've worked with. You know, if you talk to somebody and go, hey, do you have a realtor? And they go, oh my God, I had the worst experience. Well, you know, that's not a great thing. But if you've had a great experience, if someone's had a great experience, ask them about it. What made their experience great? Why did you like your lender so much? Did he return your phone calls? Did he constantly, you know, there's a lot of lenders out there that they're not organized and they are so overwhelmed. Like Ryan said, you're doing 100% more work than you did last year. And the pressure's really on, considering it's not like you can go out and hang out on the weekends and relieve the pressure. I mean, we're all under a lot of stress. Find out if these people are good for their word, if they're reachable, if they do the things that they say they're going to do. You know, you have to do it. You can't just go with the first thing you see because you're excited and you want to go buy a house. Because a little due diligence up front, do your homework up front, get referrals, talk to people, and talk to realtors who've had experience, who have worked with these lenders in the past. It's I can't stress enough, because while you may, it's great to have, get a great rate, but they promise you something and you're not going to get anything. You know, I'd rather have a good rate that actually closes than a great pie in the sky promise that never amounts to anything. And a lot of times, and I've seen this happen too, the rate you think you're going to get from some of these, you know, big, you know, Rocket Mortgage and LendingTree, the rates they promise you are not the rates that they end up delivering. And I have seen that happen on more than one occasion.
I've lived through that.
So well, and you have to be careful too with the quicken. I just use that as an example. I don't care if I get in trouble, whatever. But there, I've looked at multiple loan estimates, and people are like, "Oh man, I'm getting 2.25%," but then they don't see that they're getting charged 4K for,
right.
You know, and the average person who doesn't know, they don't even see that because they have equity in their home, and they're just using that. You know, it's nothing out of pocket on a refi because they're just using that equity.
That's like when they give you an estimate to what your price what you're going to spend, but they get the taxes wrong. They forget that there's an HOA fee. They forget in some cases there's a capital assessment we have to buy into the neighborhood you're moving into for $1,000 or $2,000. Those things get forgotten. And then all the way down the line, when it gets to the very end, it's like, oh, the HOA is $120 a month. Yeah, you're out of the box. That's it. You're done. And I've seen that happen with other lenders.
I'm sure Matt sees that too in the insurance business. You know, cheapest isn't always the best.
They
know
that.
Yep.
Oh, maybe actually, we have one more minute. I want to ask Matt a really super fast question.
Go.
This is really going to help. Resident relative.
Yes, resident what is relative. That? If someone's living in your house, they need to be insured properly. So keep that in mind. Add them to your insurance policy. If they're visiting, if Aunt I don't know Irma, I think was
Edna,
her name.
Aunt Edna.
Edna comes to the home. And she's just visiting for a weekend, she can use your car. It's called permissive use. If that relative is staying and that becomes their permanent residence, they need to be added to your home insurance policy.
So if they have a suitcase this big, it's okay. But if they come with like a trunk and they're staying for a month,
add them to your policy. It might cost you a few bucks, but it's going to cover your assets, right? And that's what we do, is cover your assets. Also, real quick on factory motor parts, everything. If you're going to add new stuff to your, you go to Friendly Auto Centers, you add factory motor parts to what you have, and you get in an accident, it's a total loss, make sure you let your insurance people know, hey, I just added this. It's going to help increase what we're going to give you back. So keep that in mind. And then when it comes to refi, man, my team's helping people refinance all the time. The value of Matt Watson State Farm is they can give a quick call, we make it happen, we get it back, and people can help close, and they don't have to be waiting on their insurance company. Mike drop.
Boom.
Wow. How did he say that all in one breath?
Because he's got a magical mustache.
All right. Listen, woo! we gotta wrap this up. I want to thank our special guest, Tony Piccarello, the senior regional vice president of marketing for Tom Brady. But always a pleasure having him on. He's got a good sense of humor. He knows I'm joking around, not really. And we want to thank our usual gang over here. So next week, I don't know who we're having next week.
We're having Jeff with roofs. We're finally going to talk about roofs. I'm so excited.
Roofs.
Everything
how exciting.
You need to know about roofs.
We have Jeff from Roofstar coming. Jeff from Roofstar coming on next week. Thank you. Stick around. There's some other great shows coming up here on The Fanatic. 1580 on your dial.
J-E-T-S. Go Cardinals. Jets.
That's right.
Go Lions.
That's right. There we go. Stick around. Remember, drive friendly, Arizona. See you all next week.
Thank you for listening to Drive Friendly with Steve and Felicia. Visit drivefriendlyaz.com for live shows, past shows, and more about our host and guests.